Following program was made possible by Ward's Lawyers. Find us at wardlegal.ca.
Hello, Mildred.
Well, look what the cat dragged in. What's the good word, Wayne?
Oh, store's looking mighty fine. Love the new potbelly stove.
Yeah, the boys and their checkerboards will sure be pleased. What can I get you, Wayne?
Well, I'm all out of probate. I could use some affidavit, some estate planning, maybe a couple of dispute resolutions on that top shelf there. An order of collaborative family law. That seems to suit me better than family court. And if you got some post-termination advice, that'd come in handy. Things are a bit shaky at work right now. And say, did that restraining order I placed last week come in yet?
It's all here, Wayne.
That's tickety-boo. Who says you have to go to the big city to get what you need? We got it all right here. And I'd argue it's even better.
The evidence is glaring. You don't have to head to the big city to get expert legal advice on any number of issues. You can get it right here, courtesy of Ward's Lawyers, in a smaller yet still very progressive community, where you may well know that lawyer, even have a long personal history with that lawyer who's handling your file, or who's handling the file of the person you're opposing. Today, we look at that unique position local lawyers have when they practice where it's tougher to, well, let's say fade into the background when you're not on the job. There are challenges, but also some real positives too. We also introduce a new feature where you get some legal tips or advice. I guess that's the same, right? My name is Denis Grignon. Welcome to episode 3 of Ward's Legal Matters. Thanks for being with us for a new episode of Ward's Legal Matters, where we launch another series, always with you and your legal needs in mind. And we take this responsibility seriously, very seriously.
In the justice system, the public can receive two separate kinds of guidance, advice and tips, which are the same. This is an advice tip.
Guitar solo.
It is no easy task dealing with the will, but it can be easier, and it does not have to be intimidating or overwhelming, provided you have some good guidance, some good advice slash tips, which Patty Chambers has agreed to offer us. Patty is an estate administration law clerk here at Ward's. She is here with us now. Hey, Patty, so happy that you're making your first appearance here on Ward's Legal Matters.
Thank you for including me.
Okay, what tips do you have for us in this whole process?
The most important thing for any person who has a will set up is to make sure they keep certain items available for after they're gone. They want to make sure they've got their passwords put down for bank accounts, Facebook account.
Just so people can get access to that.
Exactly, because you can't, if you don't have access to them, you can't disable them. So then they're still out there. And that's one of the biggest problems right now on Facebook is how many accounts are inactive because nobody can close them because they don't have a password to log in. It's just one of the things that just helps clear that off for the trustees and the beneficiaries and the family that are left behind.
How does all of this affect like the whole idea of an estate? I mean, if I die and, you know, okay, my Facebook account is still there and it's pictures of me and my dog and my kids and my wife and so on, but how does that affect like my legacy, what I'm leaving, the actual assets?
It doesn't affect the assets at all. It's more just for the emotional support for your beneficiaries to be able to close that part of it off. The other aspect is having the list of their assets written down of where they are. Not all kids, not all spouses know. Some people keep their financial situation very private. So when they pass, well, where do we start? Where do we go? What if you, and especially if you name a friend as an executor instead of a family member. So having that list of assets, you know to start at the Royal Bank or the Bank of Montreal. You know to go to those banks to proceed with getting the asset values for the administration part.
And here's the irony in all of this. Maybe you have all those passwords in your computer, but you need a password to get into the computer.
Exactly.
Okay, so what advice would you suggest there? Do you literally write it down on a piece of paper and bury it somewhere?
Keep it, if you have a safe in your house and you have a copy of your will, keep a list of your passwords with your will. Keep that documents in there. Here's where my bank accounts are. Here's where my investments are.
Given everything you've just described there, what have you seen where, you know, I'm sure you've had people come in here and they've left and you just rolled your eyes and thought, oh, why did they not do blank? What kind of blanks have you seen?
Not knowing where the beneficiaries are. Trying to find addresses, emails, anything to be able to locate who they've named in their will. We have to search because we have to serve documents on the beneficiaries when we're at that process. So if we don't know where that beneficiary is,
you have to track them down.
We have to track them down.
And certainly that just adds to the overall cost of everything.
It does. Making it simpler for them. So we have a form that we do have a client complete at the time of their estate planning. That at least gives us a starting point. I tell them, you need to fill this out because it stays in our records. We don't show it to anybody, but it's a starting point.
So what kind of people should they let know where that information is? You're smiling, so this is something you've dealt with.
Whoever they've named as their executor or even their power of attorney, let them know. Your will is at Ward's or whatever law firm they used at that time. Now there is online database that law firms can upload their will list to so that when someone can't find their will, they can search this database. We send notifications out to the law associations in each area just to try to locate a will.
Patty, thanks so much for this.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Mari Bew. I live in Lindsay, and I listen to Ward's Legal Matters because it helps me in teaching law classes at IU Eldon. Also, in episode 2, it was pretty interesting hearing some of my former students talk about that transition from post-secondary to their first job in the legal field. Always great to hear their familiar voices and to see just what they've done with their careers.
Sure, life in a small town, even one that is not that small, like Lindsay, with a population of 20,000, and certainly the city of Quarth Lakes, which is even larger. But still, that small town feel, we have it here, and it can be charming and delightful and definitely familiar, as in you're bound to bump into someone you know when you do your groceries, or you fill up the car, or you take your kids to the library or the local rec center. But it's not always that comfy, cozy. Especially depending on your line of work, like say if your career is as a lawyer. Ryan O'Neill specializes in estates, real estate, and family law. Alex McLeod focuses on family and criminal law. Both are lawyers here at Ward's. Both grew up in the area. They still live here now, and both are right across from the table here with me at Ward's. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me on the program.
Thanks, Denny.
Thanks, Denny, for having us.
Okay, guys, what impact does living in this town? As I mentioned, it's not necessarily a little quaint little village. It is, in many ways, a city, but it feels like a town, and it is your hometown area. What impact does that have on you in your role as lawyers?
I think it maybe places a greater premium on the level of professionalism or respect that you sort of provide to not only opposing counsel who also practice in a small town, but also their clients. It's inevitable that you're going to run into the other sides of some of your files. And I think that as long as you've conducted yourself with professionalism and shown the respect despite the fact being maybe on opposite sides, then the interactions or the happenstances and run-ins become a little more comfortable than they would otherwise.
That brings up a good point there. Alex, Ryan, what is the bigger challenge? Bumping into opposing counsel or bumping into clients you've defended, or maybe clients on the other side, even if it wasn't a criminal court, but somebody who was on the other side of handling? What's the bigger challenge there when you meet that group of people for you?
Well, maybe both, to be honest with you, Denny. But I think, to be candid, I can count on one hand after almost 20 years of being in Lindsay, whereby I've had uncomfortable situations. The reason I went to law school was so I could come back and live and practice in a small town, because I like the people that tend to live and or decide to live in a small town. I like working with them. I like being around them.
Were you as optimistic as Ryan was?
I may have been a little more cautious about things. I think it was always in the back of my mind that because, like Ryan, we're local families, with siblings that again, have reach into different demographics, that I would inevitably be running into people either on the same side or other side of files. And I wasn't sure how comfortable that would be at a grocery store or at a hockey rink or a baseball diamond. And part of you wants to leave, what you do on a daily basis if you're litigating or practicing law inside your office and not necessarily want to take that outside. So I think the fear originally was, you may be approached by clients and ask questions in a not so comfortable setting where you're really just trying to enjoy your personal time. But I agree with Ryan. It has been very irregular that it's happened. I'm certainly more comfortable now that when it does happen, I'm able to say, look, why don't we set up a time next week to speak? Or if it's the other side of a party, I keep my respectful distance.
Why do you think you're not hounded by that person in the grocery store going, hey, Ryan, I want to talk to you about blank?
I attribute it to the people. They're respectful. I think they recognize that, you have a job to do. And much of the time, it's certainly not personal. I find small town people to be respectful, pragmatic people. They attempt to honor your privacy 99% of the time. We all desire anonymity at some time. To me, the beauty of living in Lindsay is if I want that, I can simply get in my car and drive to Toronto. At times, I guess it can be somewhat like living in a fishbowl. I find the benefits far outweigh the cost for me.
I've been a product of a small town lawyer's son now for 40 years. So, I would go into the supermarket even when I was in high school or college or just graduating college. And at that stage, I was, Scott McLeod's son or Judge McLeod's son.
Did that make it easier or harder given what you're doing now in the whole scheme of practicing law in a small town?
I'd like to think both. I mean, I'm the first one to say that the opportunities that I received by way of my mentorship or learnings from my dad, I think have sort of molded me into the type of lawyer I practice to be today. But it also expanded the net of individuals who have had some sort of contact, either negative or otherwise, in the legal system, because now not only am I aware of the files that I'm responsible for, but sometimes you get the unfair, unfortunate connection to some of the files that your dad was responsible for.
Have you ever avoided anything, Ryan, I'm just thinking if you're walking up and down Kent Street here, have you ever seen somebody coming one way and go, oh, maybe I'll just cross the street here for a moment?
Yeah, no, it's a fair question, Denny, and a good one. And yes, to answer, honestly, yes. Sometimes I will go down a different aisle in the supermarket. I'm not convinced that our profession is really terribly different from any other profession in a small town.
Oh, I've spoken to my doctor about this.
I don't think we're any different. I think I watch people going up to their carpenters, and asking them questions, I think I've been guilty of doing that. My dad was a veterinarian, so it was a little different, but I spent my entire life growing up here, watching people come up to my dad, ask him questions about their dog, their cat, their cow, their sheep. My dad enjoyed it. He never found it to be a problem. I don't know whether it's fair to say he invited it, but he certainly didn't discourage it. I don't find it difficult at all.
Do you have anything in your back pocket, like a line that you'll take out just in case that person says, hey, I want to talk to you about work, a line that you might, whether you can point to a code of conduct or something where you can say, listen, I can't get into this right now.
For me, I think it's something even less formal than a code of conduct. I'm comfortable at this stage saying, look, and I think we can help you, but why don't you give me a call at the office Monday and we'll set some specific time to go through things. If there is an opportunity where it may be a more intimate area of town or we're in a corner and I think it's a 5-second sort of answer, I'm not opposed to trying to give a little little hand on the side, especially if I think it's something that has some urgency.
On those few occasions when you've had to use that line, Ryan, what's the reaction of people? You know, that I'm thinking that person who's your neighbor, that person you bump into at the grocery store or at the rec center when you say, do you mind if we don't talk about this? How do they react?
Normally apologetic. I quite often will frame it in that it'd be nice to just talk about this in private, wouldn't it? We could do that at my office rather than here with prying ears. Most people, you know, quickly realize, you know, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Why don't we do that?
In many ways, I get the sense that your dad's kind of laid the groundwork for this, that you knew what to expect. How about your case, Alex, with knowing that your dad was who he was and that he practiced law? Did that, I know it gave you a window into it, but there was nothing in there that made you go, oh boy, I got to brace myself. Or was he very much like Ryan's dad?
No, very similar to the description that Ryan gave. In fact, you know, watching the way that he practiced in a small town, the advantages that were afforded to him by practicing a small town is one of the main reasons why, you know, my wife and I thought this would be the perfect place to come back and practice. And still one of these days that I feel so fortunate and have benefited tremendously from practicing in a small town. I can honestly say that there has not been a day of real regret on making the decision to come back and practice law here.
Well, we've focused a little bit on the, you know, the challenges. Why don't we talk a little bit about what the real big plus is, knowing that, you know, you could be defending or you could be representing, whether it's an estate or real estate transaction, somebody that you literally grew up with because you are both from here. So talk to me about the pluses of that, Ryan.
Most times, as a lawyer, what you're trying to do is help people, right? That's kind of the primary focus, I think, and goal of the job. Certainly the plus is getting to help someone that really needs it. And if that person has a connection to you, I think it makes it even more rewarding, to be candid with you, Denny. Being able to, or attempting to try and help people, you know, that I know.
I mean, there's been instances in my careers focusing on the sort of the criminal code, criminal type of thing, where you know, you're approached by a close friend or someone that's meant a lot to you in the past, and they could genuinely just use a hand getting out of a situation that any one of us could have found ourselves in. Whether or not there was a disagreement at an establishment that led to perhaps a physical altercation, you know, some sort of consensual type fight where someone might have accidentally gotten inadvertently hurt, and that fight led to, you know, potential criminal charges. An individual that, like myself, has set up shop and practiced in their own area in the small town, and a criminal conviction could cause significant damage to their reputation, to their ability to earn an income, to their ability to provide for their family. And there's been files that I've been able to take those on in the criminal form and thought, I can really help this person. And if we have the success, or if the court has the mercy that someone in this position probably should be afforded, then really we can chalk this up to a mistake and that individual can move on with their life.
Well, there's a level of trust almost immediately, right? Which is very important to the lawyer-client relationship. You know, if the lawyer trusts the client and the client trusts the lawyer, the relationship works.
So you've kind of sped up the process. If that person walking through the door is someone you go, hey, we were in science class together back in grade 11.
It's an excellent and apt description. I also think sometimes one of the benefits is, you know, at times we're speaking the same language. You know, we come from similar places. We've had similar experiences. Shared experiences are helpful, I think, in understanding other people's perspectives, right? Being able to understand the perspective of the other side. If you're dealing with people that you understand and generally like, it becomes a whole lot easier and valuable for the client.
Okay, for that lawyer who's in law school right now, whether they're from Lindsay or another small little community, and they're teetering, thinking, I don't know if I want to go back to a small town. You're smiling, Alex. So what advice or what wisdom can you pass on to that person who's still kind of not quite sure?
Think about the wonderful advantages outside of the practice that practicing in a small town opens up for you. The main one being accessibility to the things that you love. There's nothing stopping me proximity-wise from going to attend an extracurricular activity or a school function because my child's school is 5 minutes down the road. There's nothing stopping me from volunteering at a basketball or a hockey clinic because the rink is 7 minutes down the road. So think about the opportunities outside of the legal practice that practicing in a small town can afford you, by way of family and friends.
Maybe not wear your lawyer clothes and maybe wear a ball cap and hold it down so that they know you're not on duty.
I find one of the benefits of being in a smaller center is the collegiality of the bar. I can't argue. There's certainly more anonymity in Toronto or any larger center. With that anonymity comes, though, the ability for lawyers to be a little more terse with each other, a little sharper with each other, because frankly, I'm not sure whether I'm going to deal with that lawyer again this year or ever. In Lindsay, there's a pretty good chance that, I'm going to deal with that lawyer probably tomorrow. That's a benefit, being able to establish and develop these relationships that then serve and benefit the client, which then serves and benefits the community.
Sometimes life can feel so dark, the whole world's an absence of a spark. We sit back and relax and watch fade away.
We may have that small town feel, but we still offer big time services, always delivered with a huge heart. My thanks to lawyers Ryan O'Neill and Alex McLeod, always so generous with their time. And to Patty Chambers for kicking off our new Advice Tips series. Big thanks also to the small town guy with a big time talent, Sean Jameson, who provides the music you hear on this show. Isn't it great? You can find Sean's music on your favorite streaming platform. You can find us there too, wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to hit that like button. That'll help others find us. Our show is brought to you by Ward's Lawyers for all your legal needs, and they meet them all, by the way. Go to wardlegal.ca and check out their cool new website. Melissa Weems is our executive producer. We got some help today from Nancy Payne, lending her voice two times. And thanks to good friend and high school teacher extraordinaire Mari View. If you have an idea for the show, please reach out to us via the Ward's Lawyers Facebook page. Ward's Legal Matters is written, produced, and hosted by me, your neighbor, Denis Grignon. We're back in a month. Until then, please check out our past episodes for free.
I found your cute face in this endless cave. Sparkle shines.
I love working with people that I respect and like, and working for people that I respect and like. I find that easier and more accessible in a smaller center.